The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Whistler from Topeka, Indiana, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back, episode 44, Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast.
Hey everyone, I'm Matthew McCabe.
And I'm Steve Anderson, and we are here to help youth workers to keep going. What's up, buddy?
Hey man, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm kind of tired today, to be honest.
The morning after the Super Bowl.
I'll tell you what, that was the worst 4 hours of my life.
I saw you posted last night some comment about 4 hours of my life I can't get back. Did you post that, or is that somebody else?
No, I really did.
Oh, you did?
No, seriously. Was that like the most boring 4 hours of your life?
I am a football fan. I like to watch football. I like, obviously, to watch my team, but I will sit and watch any football game, anytime, because I like to be entertained. I was not entertained last night.
I'm all for defense. I mean, defense is a lost art in football, but there weren't any big plays.
No.
There was no excitement to that game whatsoever. It was the most boring 4 hours. Honestly, I would have been more excited if I had been watching paint dry.
Yeah, I thought the commercials were also subpar for what you usually get. You know, usually you get a couple of winners. I did like the NFL one, celebrating 100, the one
right at
the banquet. That was actually
that was good.
Quite entertaining. But other than that, it was like...
I liked the elevator one.
Yeah.
What was that? Kia? Was it Kia?
I think it was Kia, but yeah.
I thought that was clever.
And the halftime show?
You know what I did during halftime?
What did you do? You went in the hot tub.
No, I should have.
You should have gone in the hot tub.
I should have. I went after the game. No, I went upstairs and did the dishes so that I wouldn't have to stay up afterwards.
Wow.
I missed the entire halftime show. What's great,
you
though?
You did not miss much of anything. And I'm a Maroon 5 fan.
Like, I'm really
Adam
not.
Levine, I can listen to him on my playlist, and I can jam, but it just there was no energy
in the show. I'm glad they played the old stuff, because I was kind of listening, you know, from the steps. But my father-in-law, who's 85 or 86, called me after halftime, and he's like, "What is up with this Maroon 5, and who's this big boy running around in a beaver coat?"
That's actually quite classic.
Big boy.
Big boy.
I don't know who Big Boy is, do you?
I don't, no.
Okay.
No.
We're so culturally irrelevant.
Yeah.
Big Boy. Actually, I do know what Big Boy is. It's a really good burger joint.
It's a burger joint, I was going to say. When I think Big Boy. Bob's Big Boy.
Yeah.
You can see the guy with his hand up and the burger on the plate. Yeah.
There's one of those out in Pittsburgh I used to go to.
I didn't know. And yeah, it was, you know, we had, I don't know, I had 15, 20 people over at the house last night, and so we had a good time, but was despite the Super Bowl and all of its, you know, accoutrements.
So this brings to an end the worst NFL season of this millennium, for me at least. I'm so glad it's over.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah. I moved on weeks ago to basketball. I'm just watching college basketball now.
Good for you.
I watch the Super Bowl because I guess that's what you're supposed to do. And we had people over to watch the Super Bowl. So
yeah,
it was on.
So it was so boring that, you know, it was definitely a yawner.
Definitely.
So we thought today we'd talk a little bit about how to not be boring.
Yes. Which sounds so simple, but
you're probably thinking, well, I'm listening to this podcast. It's pretty boring right now.
Pretty boring anyway. No, yeah, this idea of how not to be boring. I mean, the Super Bowl, I can't even imagine the millions of dollars that were invested in that four-hour snooze fest. So how not to be boring is actually something we need to think about, because I think it's pretty easy to be boring if we're not careful.
It is. And you think about all the things that kids are involved in, all the things that are drawing for their attention, and youth ministry is one of many.
Many.
So there needs to be something about what we do that is different than everything else.
Yeah. A lot of what they're involved in is boring. I mean, school. I mean, and not just boring, but pressure-packed, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, school, obviously, I mean, I remember school being just terribly boring. I wasn't a school guy, so.
Maybe, I liked school.
Maybe more so than others. Yeah. I was bored out of my mind in school. And especially nowadays, it's so pressure-packed for our students. And then I'm not saying sports aren't boring. Kids are playing sports. They're playing them because they're fun. Right. But they're also so pressure-packed that it's taking some of that fun out. Not making it boring, but it's certainly removing the enjoyment aspect out of it for a lot of kids.
There's a lot of pressure. There's also this ongoing sense of it's all about prepping for the next thing. So you go to school, you're studying for the test so you can get a good score on the test, so get good grades, so that you can get a good score on the SAT, so that you can get into the college of your choice.
Right. So it's all down the road, down the road.
Yes. It's all about prepping for the next thing. And that brings with it pressure and expectation. And I think that that's part of why we see kids struggling so much with anxiety and depression and all that kind of stuff.
For sure.
So what can we do in youth ministry that creates a whole different culture, a whole different vibe that is freeing for kids? It's fun for kids. It's exciting. It's
something they look forward to.
It's a relief. It's life-giving.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a breath of fresh air. Well, we thought of at least three different ways in which we can not be boring and make our ministry something different.
Yeah.
So first one is this idea of being whimsical.
Being whimsical.
We had to look that word up. But it's a great word.
It is a great word. You know, it's that sense of playfulness.
Yes.
And fun and fun-loving. And, you know, most youth ministries have a lot of that. That comes naturally with gathering a bunch of teenagers together.
Yes.
But there's some intentionality behind that, too.
For sure.
To create that kind of environment.
One of the reasons that we love DYM, just to give DYM a little shout out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I were at this conference here last September, and we loved it because one of their core values at DYM is this idea of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they call it something else.
Yeah, but they call it irreverence.
Right.
Which is good in their context.
In their context, but it's this idea that if we can't laugh together, if we can't just enjoy and have fun, and to watch Josh Griffin on the stage, he's always like cracking up. He's always laughing. And there's something that's inviting about that. There's something that's refreshing about that. And so how do we bring that into our student ministries?
Yeah, so we try not to take ourselves too seriously. I mean, you and I are both, we're very different personalities, but we have this in common, hopefully, that we don't take ourselves too seriously, and we've kind of created that culture in the student ministries that we lead.
Yeah, I gave up on taking myself too seriously decades ago. But yeah, I think it's an important message because, again, in almost all of the other environments our students are in, they are taught the exact opposite, to take themselves too seriously and to take what they're doing too seriously.
Right.
And so to create this environment where we take ourselves a little less serious. And so one of the things that I created real early on, again, for me, this was the way it played out for me and how I brought it, whimsicalness, I don't know if that's a word, but we're gonna make it a word today, into my ministry is, I you know, this game, playing a game, some kind of activity up front. I just called it the stupid youth pastor game. And and that sort of grew in legend
aptly
over the years.
Aptly named, I'm sure.
Aptly named, you know, and there was always conversations about, is the game stupid or is the youth pastor stupid, which nobody ever really had an answer to.
Does it matter?
It didn't matter.
It's universal.
But playing games, you know, obviously you want to create community, and so you play some games that that bring connection. But a lot of times I would play games just for the simple fact that I wanted kids to look ridiculous and be okay with it.
Right.
And just be okay that for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes of your week, let your guard down, stop being so serious, stop being so smug, stop being so pressure-packed. And
so cool,
and just be a goof. Mm-hmm. Just be a goob, as we would call it, and be okay with it because everybody else is too.
Right.
And so that was an intentional insertion into my student ministry for the very reason of let's take a deep breath here and be okay being goofy.
Yeah. We've done something similar to that. We have at times run seasons of the random awkward moments.
I love awkward
So as soon as we gather together for the worship time, we'll do something that's just totally awkward because everyone's, you know, they're sitting by the people that they know and they're in their little bubble of friends. So we do something to totally mix it up. And you have to be awkward to do that. And that's okay.
Sure.
Celebrate awkwardness. Celebrate. We're awkward, so you don't have to be. It's exactly. One of our sub-mottos. Another thing that we've done is we have a couple times throughout the year have opportunities for students to, in community, make complete goofs of themselves.
Yes.
So at our fall retreat, we do this view follies. We break them into groups, and they have to come up with skits based on these random things. You have a scenario, a character, a wild card, a phrase, and you got to come up with a skit, and everybody's got to be part of it. We have prop boxes.
Yes.
That we have collected and accumulated over the last 18 years. There's now over 4 of them.
So that they can look ridiculous while they are being ridiculous.
So every time we get a new one, we throw it in the box and we bring these boxes, you know, out at certain times of the year, and the kids, you know, scour through them and
wigs
put stuff.
And wigs and capes. And,
hilarious. And so we record those and they become legendary
of course.
Moments in the life of the youth ministry and the things that they talk about years later. Do you remember when we did this and this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we've done similar things to that. One of the things we do at our fall retreat, it's kind of it grew in legend over the years, is the No Talent Talent Show,
right?
Which was just basically it's a spoof on a talent show. The only awkwardness that ever comes in is when somebody doesn't quite get the memo.
they're trying
to be talented, right. And then everyone is just like, "Hey, this is really weird." But most of the time, people are just absolutely making fun of themselves or just being ridiculous. And oh, we laugh until our sides hurt, and people talk about it for years after.
We've done a talent show kind of thing for the last 8 years. We call it Acts of God. And some of the talents are genuine talents being demonstrated, but a lot of it is just skits. And, you know, we've done some ridiculous, ridiculous skits the past few years.
I've seen a picture of you that I cannot get out of my head, Steve, from one of these events.
Yeah, my middle school director and I did the tight pants skit that Jimmy Fallon and Will Ferrell have done.
Yes.
And just made absolute fools out of ourselves.
I saw you in yoga pants in a picture.
Oh, it's classic. And it's just so, I mean, again, we're not taking ourselves very seriously. We're making fun of ourselves. I've had parents come up to me later and say, you know, my little 8-year-old is at home singing the tight pants song.
You're making impressions, Steve, on the young. So impressive.
I'm so sorry.
And also there's just a sense of bringing a sense of laughter, mm-hmm. and there's intentionality there too, right. to bring that into all events that you do, your regular weekly programming, your retreats, mm-hmm. where your interaction with your youth leaders and your interactions with your students mm-hmm. are just infused with laughter.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think our students are given enough space, especially in the culture they live in today, to just laugh and just enjoy the moment and just think something is hilarious and just belly roll laugh about it. And so for us to give them those mm-hmm. opportunities will differentiate our group from everything else that they're doing in this culture right
That's true. It does start with the leaders. We got this idea from Stuff You Can Use. Ken and L. Campbell have this idea where at your leader meetings, you figure out what the random holiday is for that month. And then you celebrate that holiday. So one night,
really?
One night it was Fruitcake Day.
Didn't know that was a thing.
So we broke out the cornhole boards, and we played cornhole with fruitcake at our leaders' meeting. And it was
That's
great
hilarious.
Fun.
Oh,
it was
sure,
great fun.
Sure.
You know? Just again, not taking ourselves too seriously. We had real training. We talked about student ministry, but then we played fruitcake cornhole, which was cool.
Love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Another way that we can not be boring is to intentionally infuse some element of surprise and chaos into our student ministry.
So let me get this straight, Steve Anderson. Are you advocating increasing the level of chaos in student ministry?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'd like to hear a little more about that.
You just give the sixth graders control of the whole youth ministry.
That's a terrible idea, Steve. I don't think that's what you mean.
No, that's exactly what I mean.
Please tell me you have a different idea here.
No, So we did a mission trip to Greece the last 2 summers, and one of the things that we brought back from that trip, just philosophically, was we work with this ministry called Streetlights. They're basically a street ministry, and they have ministry to refugees and a lot of children and youth in the area who are, you know, they're just trying to love into the kingdom of God. And they just do the most random creative things. They just go out into the park and they start games. They go to the town square and they start a big game of hokey pokey and get, you know, dozens of people from all over the world jump into this big circle of goofiness. And it's completely random. You don't know what's going to happen. They might get shut down. The police might show up and say, you guys got to go home. But they do it. And it just taught us, like, don't worry necessarily about the results. Worry about safety.
Well, obviously, yeah, we want to do that.
But don't think that we always have to have the end planned out. Sometimes we can just throw things in and just see what happens and just throw kids off kilter a little bit.
Sure. I think a lot of our kids' life is predictable. Our mm-hmm. students, their lives are mapped out and they're predictable. They know when practice is. They know when what's coming up at school and the next test is. And so, yeah, in our ministry,
they live by the syllabus.
Sure, right. Mm-hmm. And so in our ministry, to give them opportunities to be kind of shifted off their access for a minute, just kind of like, you know.
Shifted off their what?
Their access. Come on, it's a phrase. So I know that one of the things that I practice quite often is a mystery night.
Okay.
So you're planning to surprise them, and they know that you're going to surprise them. They just don't know what's going to happen. And,
right.
And they get, it's so fun to watch them get frustrated or try to guess. Oh yeah, we totally know what we're going to do. And then of course, if they actually figure it out, I change what we're going to do because I don't want anyone to actually figure it out. And so there's some mystery in there and there's some intrigue. And so we've had some success with that.
No, that's really cool. So mystery night, kids don't know what's coming. If they figure it out, you got to throw it out the window.
I change it. Okay. And do something new.
Yeah, sometimes we'll just mix up the order of the night because we have kind of our own pattern that we follow.
Everybody falls into a pattern, for sure.
Yeah, so we'll mix it up. We'll do family groups first and do the message last, stuff like that. But we also try to use one of our student leadership teams, the Love Machine, we call them, to bring something to each night that's a little bit different. So when the kids come in, they are engaging in like a poll or a game or something with a name tag or just something that kind of makes the night different, something sure. fun and funny that is a conversation starter. Just makes things a little bit different every week. And then every now and then, we do something just kind of cruel.
Kind of cruel?
Yeah.
Like what?
I played a prank on them last weekend or 2 weekends ago at our retreat. Did I tell you about that?
No, you did not. I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. So our buddy Scott was coming to speak.
Yeah,
you know,
good guy.
You introduced me to Scott. And nobody in my group knew who Scott was, except my staff. None of my volunteer leaders knew who Scott was. So Scott and I arranged prior to the retreat for Scott to show up at the venue. And he had a camp shirt on from the retreat center. And he came in with the clipboard. And he came up to me and he's like, are you Chad? And I said, no, I'm Steve. He said, you're not with First Christian Church of Niles, Ohio? I said, no. He said, you're not leading a men's retreat? I said, no, does this look like a men's retreat? And we had about a 10-minute banter where he was coming in and saying, you don't have the retreat center. There's four buses showing up in 20 minutes from this other church, and the kids had already unloaded all their gear, and they were in their rooms. And now they're all watching this conversation, and they're like, oh, my goodness.
They were thinking they're going to have to go home.
So I'm playing it up like, oh, my gosh, I have screwed this up. I'm so done
here.
Oh,
no.
And I walk outside. I'm like, I got to go make a phone call, see if I can get the bus to come back and pick us up and see if I can find another camp. And some of my leaders are like not knowing.
Like, and your leaders didn't know you were doing this.
No, my volunteer leaders didn't know. And
nice
so
work.
They're just about ready to go off on Scott. They're like, I'm going to take this guy out. He's being such a smart aleck
awesome.
About this. And Scott is like, oh, he's just playing it up big time. And my kids are looking at me, what are you going to do? And I came back in. This has gone on about 10 minutes. I came back inside. I said, guys, you got to go get your bags, bring them all down here, and put them in this pile over here. The bus is coming back, and we're going to try to find some other place to stay because we can't stay here this weekend. And by the way, this is my friend Scott.
And they all died.
Broke up, dying, laughing. I mean, it was the ultimate opportunity to play a prank on them. And I saw it coming and used, you know, leveraged that moment to do that. You only get that moment about once every 10 years.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you can't do that kind of stuff. But, you know, just the element of surprise turned their world upside down for just a few minutes. And they'll be talking about that.
Oh, they'll be talking about forever.
Forever, yeah. So
yeah. We try to build in even surprises. We plan them internally, obviously, staff and even with the parents, but the kids just think they're showing up for a regular night, and when they get there, there's a bus out front. We rent a bus and we'll go out for ice cream, or we'll go to a park and play frisbee and cornhole and stuff. Just to say, nope, we're not doing our regular, normal stuff that you expected and that you predicted. We're going to go do something completely different.
That's so great.
But they never know when it's coming. You know, we try to do it maybe a couple times a year. They just have no idea. They show up, and if they see, you know, some of them are catching on now because they show up and they see a bus in the parking lot. They're like, oh, it's surprise night. I wonder where we're going. But even then. They don't know what we're doing.
Right.
And when we get them on the bus, we don't tell them. We just start driving.
Yeah.
Go wherever we can go.
It's so great.
Yeah. So much fun.
You know, the best coaches my kids ever had would use this for their team building. I remember one of my kids' coaches I must have been baseball coach. They showed up one night, and instead of practice, they played wiffle ball the whole time. You know, just stuff that just throws it up for a loop.
Off.
And it's just great for everybody. So, okay. Cool. Now let's move on to the last one.
Last one.
Which is a more serious one. We're talking about being whimsical, and we're talking about being surprising.
Yep.
But ultimately, what we have that no one else has in any other area of their lives is the highest purpose.
Yeah, the fact that what we're doing is transcendent over everything else that they're doing.
Yes.
It filters into every part of it. It's bigger than them. It's bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
And so we are not prepping them for the test, right? We are not practicing to play the game. We are not modifying their behavior so that they'll be good citizens. We are offering in student ministry the opportunity to live out the kingdom of God and the purpose that God has placed in every student. That's incredible.
That is something nobody else has, and you and I have seen it over the years when somebody finally gets that and that light goes off, that they're a part of something that's so much bigger than what we're doing, whether it's when you take them to a conference or something and they see other students engaged, or you take them on a mission trip, or you know, you bring in a special guest speaker and they hear about something that's happening in some other part of the country or the world, when they realize that what's happening here every Sunday night or Wednesday night or whenever you meet and at every retreat, every missions trip is not just about that thing. It's about the kingdom of God and what God is doing in this world. I mean, it's hard to beat that. That's not boring. That's amazing.
That is the ultimate, yeah. Every year I give the seniors this little book by John Eldridge called Epic. And it's really about how you are part of this incredible grand story that God is writing for the world. And man, your part is important in that. And so when you get students to see that they are part of something, that God has been writing a history for thousands of years, and now they step into this corner of the universe at this moment in time with the purpose that God has given to them, you know, Ephesians 2:10, it just sets them on a course for their life. I love, you share with me one time that you have a different question that you ask college seniors now. Do you remember that?
I don't. Bring me up to speed. If it was good.
So like not, you don't ask them, what are you going to major in?
Oh, you're saying high school seniors.
Instead of asking
high school seniors.
No, senior citizens.
You said college seniors.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. We're not professionals. We're just podcasters. Instead of asking a high school kid, a senior or a junior, you know, what are you going to major in, or where are you going to go to college, which are just terrible questions to ask a high school kid because it just heaps this pressure on. The question, God, I can't remember exactly how it's phrased, but the question is, what part are you going to play in the story that God is writing?
Mm-hmm.
Because that question transcends where they're going to college, and it transcends what they're going to major in. It gives them a bigger picture that their life is not their education and their life is not the career they choose. Their life is what are they contributing mm-hmm. to the story that God is trying to write in this world. It's just a better question. And I'm telling you what, high school students don't like the question because it's really hard to answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the other question's hard to answer too, especially when they don't know.
Well, it may cause some disequilibrium with what everybody else's expectations are for them.
Sure.
You know, if mom and dad are saying, well, you're going to go to such and such a school and major in accounting because there's good paying jobs in accounting or engineering. And, you know, the kid is really thinking, I think maybe I want to go into environmental science so I can help people in Africa,
right.
you know, dig better wells or something, you know, whatever it is. It may not necessarily, you know,
Yeah.
be aligned with the purposes that the family has in store for
which
their kids.
Which is surprising, and it knocks us off our equilibrium a little bit, which is good.
Yeah. But nevertheless, that's the message ultimately that we want to pass on to our students, that, yeah, this student ministry is great. We're so glad you're here. God loves you. What's your purpose in this world? What is God calling you expressly to do that he's gifted you to do? And set them into that purpose. That's a whole different, beautiful, transcendent thing that we can give that nobody else can give.
Absolutely. And it is not, considering that question, it's not boring. There's no way it's boring. God's calling us into an adventure, not a doldrum. I mean, what God has for us, each of us and each of our students, is beyond comprehension. It's not boring. It's amazing.
And student ministry is the on-ramp to finding that purpose. You know, when kids get involved in a missions trip, when they get involved in student leadership, they start to discover their gifts. They see how God has uniquely gifted them. And then we can speak to them and say, hey, have you ever thought about maybe this? We had a student at our last retreat. He's a senior now. We love this kid. He's been awesome all along, and everyone loves him. He's planning to go to college and major in business, which he would do quite well. He wrapped up our Saturday night session with a little mini message that left us with our jaws on the floor.
Really?
Yes. And I just, myself and everyone else in the room, all the other leaders were like, this kid should be a youth pastor. The highest calling of all.
The highest calling, for sure.
Because he's got everything that he needs. He's got the gifts. He just has the personality that would do really well in ministry because everyone likes him and he's passionate, he's earnest, he cares about people, he's talented, he's gifted up front. Like he has the factors.
The tools. He's got the
toolbox.
He does.
Yeah. He does. And if he would step back and say, not what will give me a good job, but what's my purpose?
You might have a different answer to that question.
He might have a different answer.
A more transcendent answer, a bigger, more adventurous answer.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that drives us in youth ministry, you and I personally, is trying to help kids find that along the path. And we have the opportunity to create these environments and these experiences that can kind of help them identify those things and ultimately lean into that.
It's one of the reasons that youth ministry is the highest of the callings.
It is indeed.
I know we're a little biased.
Which is why we're sticking with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps you think through, you know, not that you ever thought you were boring, but to give you a bigger picture of how important it is that we offer something different in our ministries than what our students are getting in all other aspects of their life, something whimsical, something with an element of surprise and excitement, and something that transcends them as a person and gets them involved in the bigger picture of what God's doing in this world.
Yeah, I think it's really good to remind ourselves of that, just for me personally, just talking through this, because we get caught up in the weekly program.
Sure.
And we got to get the next message together. We got to plan the next trip and get the logistics and, you know, get the worship set and whatever. And that's all part of it. But when we remember that what we're doing is transcendent,
changes the way we approach it.
Well, we hope that's been helpful. Hopefully it was a little more interesting than the Super Bowl.
That would not take much, so I certainly hope that's the case.
If you had to give us a score, would our score be 13-3 today?
It feels like a 31-27.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like. Did you say 31 to 27?
I did.
That was our senior pastor's prediction for the score.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know. It was a random number. I just threw out there.
Are you guys like...
No. Okay. No. Not at all.
You're not the same person?
No. Okay. I don't think so anyway. Anyway, all right. We'll be back next week with episode 45. In the meantime,
Sherpas out.